I'd like to welcome everybody to Sunday School this morning. Thank you all for making the effort to come. It's a joy to see each one of you. And the Lord Jesus, his heart and his hands reach out to you this morning. He wants you to know him. And that's my desire, to be able to hopefully help in that this morning, to bring him before your heart. Let's actually start with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing some songs. Gracious God, we just give thanks for the opportunity that we have to be able to look up and to ask for help as we would open Sunday School this morning. We just ask for help to be able to stretch myself, as it were, upon the children, to be able to come to the level that they would be able to understand, to be able to be brought into the good of thy heart towards them, of thy great love, of the wonder of who the Lord Jesus is, and that their lives would be turned to live to follow him. So just ask for help this morning, that everything that is done would be for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus. Pray that none of the little ones would be stumbled or offended in what is said this morning. So just ask for help now. We thank that we could do so. Father, in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, amen. All right, who has a song for us to sing this morning? Go ahead. What number?
Number 6.
All right, number 6. Come to the expresses the sentiment of my heart very well, so thank you, Lori. Got a number for us here, Kira?
Number 12.
All right, number 12. Ready to find it? Good. Maybe we'll do one more. All right, we'll pick a boy this time. Let's see. We'll get to you first. Is it Micah?
Yes, Micah.
Nine. Number nine.
All right, number nine. Into a tent
where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat.
I would like to talk to you this morning about a story in the Bible that's probably well known to many of you. It's one I've recently enjoyed and had on my heart to speak on. It's about somebody who starts with a J. Who wants to guess as to who it might be? Jesus. That would be the best guess, but unfortunately, while we are going to heavily talk about him, the story is primarily about someone else. All right, let's see. Ricky? Jonah. Excellent. That's right. So Sam's going to help me handing out some prizes for people who answer questions right, because sometimes I forget to hand them out, so I need help. And I also need a lot of help in prayer, so I'm sure there's lots of people going to support in that during this time. All right, Jonah. So let's read a few verses here. I'd like to go through the story. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Jonah was what? Who can tell me? Go ahead, Vivi. Jonah was a prophet, okay? And what did the Lord tell him to do? Go ahead, Kira. She said to go to Nineveh. Who answered the first one here? It was Vivi. There we go. Thanks. And then Kira just did. Okay, go to Nineveh and cry against it, because their wickedness was come up before the Lord. Seems like a fairly simple thing to do. The man is a prophet. He's given something to say. Go and do it. Everybody understand how simple that is? All right, obedience is something that's very important. I think all of you guys know that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right, that's right. Okay, you think Jonah knew that? I think he did. So what does Jonah do? Did he arise and go to Nineveh? It says, no, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare thereof and went down in it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah decided to do something instead of obeying. What did he decide to do? Go ahead, Amelia.
He wanted to run away.
What do you kids think? You think that's a good idea to try to run away from the Lord? Okay, where are we going to hide if we're hiding from the Lord? What do you think, Sophia? How are you going to hide from the Lord? We can't. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and beholding the good. That's right. He sees everything. You know, Jonah knew the Lord. He knew the Lord's heart. And I hope you guys can enter into that a little bit more this morning. Jonah knew the Lord's heart. And that's partly why he ran away. Because he was worried about himself. Anybody here care about themselves? I could tell you that that's a big struggle that I think all of us deal with the whole of our life, is worrying about ourselves. And so Jonah decided, you know what? I don't want to obey. I'm going to run away. And I'm going to hide. And so he went down to Joppa. It's on the Mediterranean Sea. And he paid the price to get in this boat. And he's going to go away. I'm going away from the Lord. I don't know where you are when you hear the Lord Jesus, that he's calling to you to come to me. When he reaches out his hands, are you trying to run away? Going to go hide somewhere. I'm going to get away from him. You know, sometimes that's the response that we have when we hear the Lord Jesus calling, come to me. We want to try to run away. Do you think it was going to work for Jonah? What do you think? Think it's going to work to run away? No, and will it work for you to run away from God? Can you get away? Can you escape? Can you go hide somewhere? You know, if we go under this stage here, there's some compartments under there. Will everybody in the room be able to see you if you went in there? Nobody in the room can see you, but God sees you. And beyond seeing your body, he sees right into what you're thinking, what you have in your heart. And, you know, he wants you to be in relationship with him. He doesn't want you to be hiding and running away. He's saying, come. You know, but poor Jonah, he thought, you know what? I'm going to get away. So off he goes, and he goes down into the ship. But you know what? The Lord is faithful, and he doesn't want you to get away from him. He didn't want Jonah to get away either. And so the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And it was so bad that the ship was going to be broken. You know, there's a man in our assembly at home that he works for the Canadian military, and he's been on big ships in the Mediterranean Sea. All right, what do you think? The ceiling's pretty high. I'm guessing it's maybe around 24 feet high. I could be wrong on that. That's pretty high. You think about maybe having waves that would be down here and then all the way up at the ceiling. You know, Mark had told me that he's been in a ship on the Mediterranean that the waves were more than double as high as the ceiling. They were 60 feet high. So that boat goes up 60 feet and then down, crash. Okay? Now you think if the Lord says this is a great wind that he sent out, do you think it just, you know, like a little breeze? No. This was a terrifying storm that the Lord sent out. And was he sending it out to destroy them all? No, he wanted to get their attention, just like he wants to get your attention this morning. He doesn't want you to be just hiding from him. All right? He wants you to be connected to him. All right? But was Jonah paying attention to the storm? No, he went down to the side of the slip, and he's in the side of the ship, and he was fast asleep. All right? He's fast asleep. You know, is anybody here this morning asleep? It doesn't look like you're asleep. But are you asleep as to what is real? You know, sometimes we can be awake, but asleep at the same time. Jonah was unaware of his circumstances that he was about to die. If this storm kept going, because it was getting worse and worse. And you know, the captain came along to him and he said, hey, what are you doing sleeping?
Wake up, call out to God. Maybe we could be saved. You could imagine the boat's going up and then crashing back down over and over again. And these guys are calling out to their gods. They couldn't do anything. And Jonah, he has the knowledge of the true God. And he's doing what? Go ahead, Lori. He's sleeping. He's sleeping. You know, I hope you're awake this morning. The men decided to do something that we're going to do this morning. We're going to cast lots, okay? So we're going to pretend as if some of you guys are the sailors on the boat, okay? And somebody in this line is going to be Jonah. And I don't know who it is, okay? But somebody here is going to be Jonah. We're going to cast lots, and all these straws look the same. But one of them is different, okay? So just pick one. We're going to cast lots to see who is guilty of pulling the fire alarm at the hotel this morning. No, just kidding. All right, pick a straw. Okay, so we're going to cast lots here. And one person is going to get a straw that's different, okay? They all look the same. Oh, no, they don't look the same. All right. Yep, somebody's giving away my secret here. All right, everybody before was innocent. Uh-oh, we're getting down to the end. Go ahead and pull a straw here. Okay, we're going to cast lots. And so when they cast lots, who has the different straw here? Vivi has the different straw. So we're going to say, uh-oh, it was Vivi who pulled the fire alarm. No, it wasn't. Okay, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Jonah was the one who got the short straw, or whatever they used to determine. And you can imagine, you could just keep your straws. You can imagine that as they're going up and down these waves, up and down and up and down, and here's Jonah, and everybody's looking at Jonah. What did you do, Jonah? Why are we all in trouble because of you? You think Jonah felt real excited at that moment? No. But you know what? Sin has consequences, right? They were all in that situation because Jonah decided, I'm going to disobey what God said. And you know, when we choose to disobey, it often affects more than just us. Often there's other people that are affected. And sometimes, if that gets bigger and bigger, it can affect many, many people when we disobey what God tells us to do. All right? Disobedience is a very serious thing. All right? And poor Jonah, here he is exposed in front of everybody. As that boat goes up and as it comes crashing back down, it's Jonah. All right? So they say, well, what should we do? What are we going to do? The storm is getting worse and worse. And Jonah says, all right, you pick me up and you throw me out into the ocean, into the Mediterranean Sea. What would happen if he got thrown into the sea? If we picked up Vivi and threw her into a deep ocean, what would happen? She knows what happens in the story. He's going to get swallowed by a big fish. That's right. But normally, what would happen if you got thrown into a huge storm like that? What do you think, Micah?
Drown.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically what you said.
Yeah, you would drown. That's right. So would Jonah kind of escape obeying God if he drowned? Kind of, in a way. Because he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to share the message that God had for them. He wanted to escape. So maybe this would be a way for him to, you know, spare everybody on the ship, and he would be able to escape obeying the Lord. All right? But I think we all know the story. The Lord had prepared a great fish, and what happened to Jonah? What do you think, Mary-Kate?
He got swallowed by a fish.
Yeah, that's right. Is that what you were going to say? Yeah. So here's Jonah in the water, probably thinking, I'm going to drown, and then all of a sudden, this giant mouth opens up, And gulp, down he goes into the whale's belly. Okay? How many of you kids have ridden on a water slide before? You kind of zip down. Yeah. I don't know if that's what it felt for Jonah, but I'm sure it all of a sudden was real dark as he went down into that fish's belly. And it says that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for how long? Who could tell me? Go ahead, Andrew.
3 days and
3 nights. Thanks, Sam. All right, Caleb's going to read us a couple verses here in a second from Matthew chapter 12.
Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repent at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Thank you, Gil. All right. So Jonah had to spend 3 days and 3 nights down there in the great fish or the whale's belly. All right. And it says in chapter 2 that then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I don't know if it took Jonah that long before he prayed, but sometimes we can be pretty stubborn. Whether or not Jonah waited that long or not, I'm not entirely sure, but sometimes we can be pretty stubborn, and the Lord can bring us into circumstances that are incredibly difficult. And sometimes we just hold out for a long time instead of submitting ourselves to the hand of the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe you children aren't as good at it as us adults of hardening ourselves. But the Lord wants us always to have a tender heart towards Him, that we would desire to please Him, that we wouldn't resist Him, but that we would obey Him. You know, Jonah, even in all of his failure, is able to be used as a sign to the people in the time of the Lord Jesus by being inside the whale's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And who can tell us what that sign was that Jesus was talking about? What else was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth? Let's see who hasn't had a chance yet. Go ahead, Jewel.
When Jesus died and rose again?
That's right. When the Lord Jesus died, he went down into the ground. His body was placed in that tomb. And he laid there in death, not because of his own sins. Jonah was in the whale's belly because he disobeyed. But the Lord Jesus lay in death because of my sins, because of the sins of anybody who will put their trust in him. He went down into death. And that was the sign that the Lord Jesus said before he died, I'm going to go into death and I'm going to rise again, just like Jonah went down into the whale's belly and then came out. That's the sign that he gave them. I am going to die and I am going to rise again. Any of you think you could say that you're going to die and then come back to life? No. No, that's not something you can just say. All right? But the Lord Jesus could say that. He knew the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's going to happen. All right? And he could tell the people, if you're willing to believe, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. And you know what? In believing in the resurrection, that's really how we're saved. That's how you can be saved, is in believing that Jesus died and rose again. And so the Lord, in his grace, allows Jonah to participate, even in his failure, in being a witness for him. And there's something else I'd like to just read here concerning the suffering of the Lord Jesus. The end of verse 3, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. You know, we talked earlier about those waves that were 60 feet high on the Mediterranean. Huge waves. All right? And I don't know if you've ever been on the beach and been hit by a wave that was big. How many of you kids have been knocked over by a big wave? Okay? It's a bit of a helpless feeling when a wave is big enough to just knock you sprawling. All right? And the Lord is using that feeling of being sent sprawling to try to understand what it means for Jonah as he was swept back and forth by these waves. But by picture, we can understand that Jesus on the cross, when he suffered, it was like those waves were crashing into him and sending him back and forth as the wrath of God was poured upon him for our sins. You know, does it mean anything to you this morning? You know, sometimes I think we get so used to hearing the gospel that it's just like water off a duck's back. Yeah, I know the story. But to think of all the billows and the waves that rolled over the Lord Jesus for you and for me, that we could be saved. He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. You know, Jonah ends up saying, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. All right, this would have been quite an experience for Jonah, too. This is kind of like going back up the water slide, okay? Anybody ever been able to shoot back up a water slide? Probably not, huh? Well, Jonah's down there thrashing around in the whale's belly, all right? And then all of a sudden, whoosh, he just gets upchucked right out. And he lands on the dry ground. Wow. All right. This was his experience. And then the word of the Lord comes to him the second time. Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach the preaching that I bid thee. What do you think Jonah's going to do this time? Go ahead. Yeah, he's going to actually go this time. You think that's a good idea, or you think Jonah should try to disobey again? What do you think? You think he should disobey? You think he should obey this time? Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was a great city, 3 days' journey. So I think depending on how you think about this, when I read in the Concise Bible Dictionary, it said this was the circumference of the city. It would be about perhaps 60 miles, maybe 100 kilometers around the city. If it was that long to get across, the way we would perhaps measure this, it would have been about probably from Oshawa to Milton. If you were driving the same way as us, that's a long way. But it was a very big city. And Jonah goes 1 day's journey into the city. And he has the message. 40 days, Nineveh is going to be overthrown. 40 days, and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. You know, if I could say that today to you, in 40 days, Canada is going to be destroyed. Would you be a little nervous? Maybe you just go back to the States if you live there. All right, but if we could say in 40 days, that's all you have is 40 days. Do you think you'd pay attention or you think, I can wait till day 39? What do you think? Think it's a good idea to wait right till the last second? No? All right, did the people of Nineveh listen? They did. Even the king. He got off of his throne. They put sackcloth on. They didn't have any food or water. And they repented. They listened to the warning. The judgment was coming. They believed it. And because they believed it, they acted on it. All right, that's how you can tell if you believe, if you act on it. All right, sometimes we think we believe something, but we don't act on it. And I don't think you really believe something if you don't act on it. If you really believe when the fire alarm goes off, there's a fire, you listen to it, you go outside. If you don't believe, then you just go back to bed. Okay? If you believe something, then you act on it. And these people, they acted on it. And what happens? You know, this is where the heart of God comes in. And if you could get anything this morning, it's this. God's heart is towards you. He loves you so much. You know, when God saw they repented, did he want to punish them when they repented? No. He wanted to bless them. And the Lord God repented of the evil that he had said he would do to them, and he did it not. That's what God wants. He wants you to draw near to him, to be in relationship with him. He doesn't want you to be afar off. He wants you to know him. And if you could understand that his heart is towards you, if you believe it, you're going to respond to him. To his outstretched hand. You're not going to leave it hanging there. You're going to take his hand. You're going to walk with him. And that's the privilege each of us have, is to take the outstretched hand of the Lord Jesus and to walk with him. You can do that when you're young, children. You don't have to wait till you're old. Walk with Jesus. Accept him as your Savior and as your Lord and just live for him totally. You know, Jonah knew the Lord's heart. The king says here, who can tell if the Lord will change? Jonah could have told them. Jonah could have told them the Lord's heart. That's why he didn't want to go. Because he knew if they repented, the Lord would change. And then he would look bad. His reputation would suffer. Because his word wouldn't come true. Jonah didn't want to look bad. He wanted to look good. So he didn't want to obey because it would affect his reputation. You know, was Jonah happy that these people, perhaps millions, turned to the Lord because of his preaching? You think of that. Imagine that your preaching resulted in millions of people turning to the Lord. You'd think he would be overjoyed. This is amazing. No, he's very angry. He's angry. Why would God give mercy to these people? He wanted them dead. He wanted the judgment. And he prayed to the Lord and told him that. He knew that God was gracious. He knew that he would show mercy. Did God love Jonah too? Yeah, he did.
You give Alice one.
And the Lord asked him a question here. You know, God was able to work in the huge city, but he cared about Jonah too. And he asked him this question, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, should you really be angry right now? You know, he didn't reprove Jonah for being angry. He asks him a question. He's very gentle to Jonah. And the Lord is so kind and gentle to us as well. And he asks him this, should you really be angry? What do you think the answer was, Charlie? Should Jonah have been angry? No. Jonah shouldn't have been angry. He should have been happy. Yeah, thanks. So, the Lord is going to work with dear Jonah here. Where are we at for time? We're doing okay. The Lord's going to work with dear Jonah to bring him back to himself. So the Lord prepares this gourd. So there's this plant. And it grew up big enough to give Jonah some shade. Okay? How many of you guys have ever been really hot? Anybody here ever been really hot? Is it really nice to be really hot? No. It's hard. You know, Jonah, he's sitting out there outside Nineveh, waiting out the time. And he's really hot. And the Lord allows this plant to grow up, and it's giving him shade. Because the Lord knew Jonah was upset, and he cared about the fact that Jonah was upset. Even though Jonah was wrong, the Lord still cared what he was feeling, what he was experiencing. And he wanted to bless Jonah too. And you know, this gourd grows up, and Jonah's enjoying the shade. You know, when you're able to get into some shade when it's really hot, it's really refreshing. All right? And Jonah, he was so glad, you know? He seems to be a bit emotional. He goes from being very angry to being very glad. Okay? He's sitting there, but the Lord has something else that he's prepared. Anybody know what it is before we get there? What do you think, Sarita? A worm. All right? The Lord has lots of different ways of working with people, all right? And he has all creation at his disposal. He had the huge storm, right? He has this wind that he sent earlier. He has the gourd, but now he has a little worm. And this little worm is going to crawl up to the gourd. And what's it going to do? What do you think? He's going to take some bites out of it, right? He's going to nibble away at it. And what's going to happen to the gourd? Go ahead, William. It's going to die. All right. Yep. Go ahead. And then William over there. Just put your hand up there, William. Thanks. So, this gourd that God has prepared to grow up, to give Jonah some shade, it's going to die. So how do you think Jonah's going to be feeling now? Go ahead. You think he's going to be mad again? All right, let's see. I'm not sure it actually tells us here. Thank you. It does tell us here. Verse 9. It tells us that Jonah was angry again for the gourd. He was angry again. So he was angry, and he's very happy, and now he's angry again. Okay? He seems to have a lot of feelings here. And the Lord asks him this question again. Jonah, should you be angry about this gourd? What do you think the answer was, kids? What do you think, Sophia? No. He shouldn't have been angry for the gourd. But again, we see the Lord graciously working with Jonah. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it to grow. It came up in a night, and it perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, this great city, wherein are more than 120,000 persons that can't discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? All right. Who could put up their right hand of you kids on the front row? Okay? You put up your right hand? All right. Yep. So you're going to help David know which one to put up? That's good. Okay. Is this your right hand, Lincoln, or is that your left hand? All right. He got it right. What do you think? Does everybody have their right hand up here? Okay. So I don't know at what age it is. I know for some people it's a lot older before they learn between their right hand or their left, but maybe 5 years old. You can put your hands down. Before we learn what our left hand and our right hand is. All right. Does the Lord care about you if you don't know your left hand from your right? He does. All right? And the Lord saw in this great city that there were 120,000 children, or people at least, that couldn't tell which hand was which. You know, we saw here some kids that were young enough, you weren't sure which one was which. Okay? The Lord cares about all of those children. And he cares about you individually this morning. And he didn't want any of those children to perish. You know, their parents were wicked. The people of the city were filled with violence. But the Lord cared for these little children. And in his mercy, he provided so that all of them could be spared from the judgment. You know, that's his heart towards you this morning. He wants you to be spared from the punishment of your sins. But you have to accept his mercy. You have to take the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. You know, I can't do it for you. If I could, I would. But I can't. I can't force you. I don't think I can persuade you. I can tell you that you need to come to the Lord Jesus for forgiveness. I want to ask you, have you done it? Because I sat in Sunday school not that long ago myself. You know, I sat with a lot of different kids up here. You know, not all those kids today, I could tell you, are living like they love Jesus. And so that makes me very confident that when I look at you guys, even though you know how to be saved, there's somebody here who hasn't believed yet. And you're missing out on everything. God is calling you to come to him and you can have everything. But Satan says, no. You're going to miss out if you believe in God's heart. But don't listen to the tempter. Listen to the one who loves you. The Lord Jesus is calling for you to come to him. Don't stay outside. Draw near to him. Accept him as your Savior. Okay? Don't run away from God like Jonah did. All right? Well, that's what I had on my heart to share this morning. I trust it will be of benefit to each one of us. You can learn from Jonah not to disobey, but of the Lord's grace and his heart towards us, even whatever we have done, wherever we're at, his love reaches out to us. So let's just close in prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we're thankful to be able to share this morning thy love towards each one of us. We deserve nothing, and yet so many of us here have had such privilege to be able to come to know the Lord Jesus as our own Savior. And Father, we just pray that it would be the reality of each child here, of each young person, of each older one, that we would be able to take up that invitation to come near unto me, I pray you. We just thank thee for thy grace to us. We just pray that we would just be able to benefit from this time together. Thank thee for thy help, Lord, for these children, their ability to listen, and
Just ask thy rich blessing upon them. Just do so in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.